KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 57 degrees. We look for sunny skies today, a high of 83. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Well, Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman reports the ballots for the September 10th school election for local school board directors and community college public measures are now available at the Cass County Auditor's Office. If you're unable to go to the voting center on Election Day, again, that's on September the 10th, you can vote absentee by mail by sending a request for an absentee ballot to the Cass County Auditor's Office. Also, you can stop and vote at the County Auditor's Office during their business hours, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. A list of all the candidates here in the county, the public measures, and the polling centers can be found by looking for this same story under the News tab at KJAN.com, and the News tab is under the Community Hub. The approach of school will mean a shot for thousands of Iowa students. The Sioux City Journal reports the Iowa Department of Public Health is requiring that 7th graders get a booster vaccine for whooping cough before they return to school. The rule approved earlier in the year came after a surge in whooping cough cases throughout Iowa. The bacterial disease, also known as pertussis, can worsen over several weeks before developing into uncontrollable coughing spells. Iowa students are also required to be vaccinated for polio, measles, and rubella, hepatitis B, and chickenpox. Beth Kintai, the State Health Department's program manager for immunizations, says parents must show proof of immunizations unless students receive a religious or medical exemption. Last year, less than 2% of kindergartners had such an exemption. A 35-year-old Iowa man has been charged with stealing groceries from a northeast Nebraska mom and her child. A South Sioux City officer said he found grocery bags of pork and bread in the vehicle of Jacob Tuttle when he stopped Tuttle for speeding and a broken brake light last week. The officer matched the vehicle's description to that provided by a witness to a theft from another vehicle in town that same day. The witness says a small child was in the other vehicle when the man took the bags. Tuttle, who's from Sioux City, Iowa, is charged with felony robbery and misdemeanors related to the traffic stop. The organizers of a Hard Rock-themed casino in Sioux City have relocated their downtown office to a bigger space. The Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Sioux City moved into a 10,000-square-foot office on Friday. Its previous space was just 1,000 square feet. Sioux City Entertainment, the casino's developer, said the new office is situated on the top floor of the downtown Mid-American building. A new office will house departments like the design and construction team, as well as the Career Center, which opens this winter. Sioux City Entertainment was awarded a gambling license in April over several bids to replace the Argosy Riverboat Casino. Penn National Gaming Company has criticized that decision. The new $120 million casino is expected to open sometime next summer. Well, if loud and powerful motors don't bother you, then you might want to head to Harrison County this weekend, where two different tractor pulls will take place today. The first event takes place at 1 p.m. in Persia. Tickets are selling for $7, with pit passes going for $10. Mike Olson, member of the Persia Fire Department, says they expect to have great participation this year.
Oh, we're expecting a great crowd this year. We're hoping for 70, 80 tractor pull hooks and about the same on the garden tractors.
The tractors and garden tractors will be performing at the same time on alternate tracks down at the Persia Ball Diamond. And what would a tractor pull event be without food?
We got some of the best food you'll find in Harrison County. We got Hussey's Barbecue coming in. They'll be cooking their award-winning pulled pork sandwiches. We'll have hamburgers, hot dogs, nachos. We'll have a little bit of everything for everybody. Some of the best food you'll get around.
And if a tractor pull isn't really your thing, Persia will have several other events going on throughout the day.
We got our mixed league end-of-the-year softball tournament going on all day. We're also going to have our pig pasture bingo this year. You can buy a ticket that day, $5 a ticket. The winner gets $300, and the good neighbor gets $50. Also, we have the duck races going on. We're bringing them back. We've been doing them the last couple of years. Those are $5 a duck, and depending on how many we sell, hopefully we'll try to sell around 150 of them, and then the winner will get half the pot on the duck races also. We'll do the duck races right after the tractor pull.
The softball tournament begins this morning at 10 o'clock, and all the proceeds from the Persia tractor pull will go toward the Persia Fire Department to their equipment fund. Persia isn't the only one sporting big engines this weekend. The Thunder in the Valley Outlaw Truck and Tractor Pull will be held later on this afternoon in Dunlap. That event features some of the biggest machines around, the Super Farm, Unlimited, and Diesel Super Stock, and 4x4 stock pickups. The Outlaw Truck and Tractor Pull will serve food inside their food stand along with a beer garden, and a DJ will entertain with music before and after the event. Couples can get in for $25. Single tickets are $15. Kids 12 and under are admitted for $5. The Outlaw Truck and Tractor Pull is in memory of Jason Hoffman, who passed away near Dunlap last year in a car accident. A new announcer stand has been built in memory of Jason and with his likeness on the back of it. The Dunlap Outlaw Tractor Pull starts at 4 p.m. today. And for more information on that, you can go to www.outlawpulling.com. A massive facility that will attract gun enthusiasts in northwest Iowa is scheduled to open next summer. Officials broke ground on the $5 million project this week just across the Missouri River from Iowa in South Sioux City, Nebraska. The business is called Calibrate, and President Jason Rainbaugh says it'll be the first of its kind in the region.
We're going to have a 24-lane indoor gun range. We will also have an 8-lane archery range indoors, which we'll be able to have a second-tier shot, which is something you never see in an archery range. Also, we're going to have a full-service pro shop and armory. This will sell guns, sell ammunition, all the accessories that go along with that, but we will also be renting guns.
The 90,000-square-foot facility will also house a 24-hour gym and CrossFit training center, as well as banquet halls and meeting rooms. Rainbow believes the area will eventually host regional and national competitions.
As far as the range itself goes, for both the archery and the shooting range itself, we are looking to host IDPA events. All of the shooting circuits that are out there, we would like to be able to host those on a regional or even national level.
The company will also serve as a firearms training facility for local law enforcement and military personnel, as well as the public. That's something that Dakota County, Nebraska Sheriff Chris Kleinberg says is needed in the area.
Especially in the past year, the handgun purchase permits have been crazy. People want their firearms, but the lack of training with such is a little nerve-wracking to law enforcement. This facility will actually help with that, which is a good thing. I think every citizen should be armed.
Calibrate will initially employ around 40 people, but Rainbow says they may eventually need as much as 100 workers. In other news, a lawsuit alleging that an Iowa agent was wrongfully fired for reporting Governor Terry Branstad's speeding vehicle and other misconduct sounds promising, but it might not be a slam dunk. Thursday's lawsuit by former DCI agent Larry Headland will face stiff resistance from state lawyers, who are likely to seek to have the case dismissed on technicalities before the merits are discussed. If his claims survive, Headland will have to convince jurors that his bosses did not have any legitimate reason to fire him. And then he'll have to convince a judge that it is a clearly defined Iowa public policy to protect police from retaliation for complaining about speeding vehicles. Headland's attorney Tom Duff says it won't be easy and could take 18 months before a trial. Republican presidential hopefuls are set to woo conservative voters in Iowa at a conference organized by an influential Christian group. Texas Senator Ted Cruz, former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, and mogul Donald Trump are among the speakers at a summit in Ames today. The Family Leader is the event sponsor. The day-long event will be one of many the candidate cattle calls in the grueling run-up to the 2016 presidential election. None of the potential contenders appearing today has declared their candidacy, though. Conservative voters could be a key to a 2016 victory in Iowa's caucuses, the nation's first presidential nominating event, but the field remains wide open. Cruz, Santorum, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, and Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker all could appeal to the Christian conservative bloc of the party in 2016. Well, the drought is worsening again, and Iowa's heavy rains are causing devastation just to the south. Parts of Missouri got 10 inches of rain overnight Thursday into Friday, bringing flash flooding, evacuations, and at least two deaths. Meteorologist Kurt Kotenberg at the National Weather Service says there is a powerful front between bone-dry Iowa and waterlogged Missouri.
It's just brought in a lot of dry and cool air here to the state of Iowa. Whereas down to the south, there's kind of been an area of low pressure that's swinging through, and it's just not quite reaching us up here in Iowa. And the area of low pressure and dry air is just kind of pushing that low to our south, and it's sort of serving as a shield, preventing all of the moisture and energy from reaching the state of Iowa up here.
While areas of southern Missouri have seen as much as 15 inches of rain the past couple of days, parts of Iowa haven't seen more than an inch of rain in weeks, and there's little hope in the forecast for either state's mystery, or rather misery, that is. A report released this week shows the drought situation is worsening in Iowa.
A good majority of the state's at least abnormally dry. Basically, the only part that's above average or near average is the far northeastern portions of Iowa. Interestingly enough, Des Moines is now almost 1 inch below normal on the year. the Waterloo area is about 10 inches above normal for 2013 on precipitation.
A week ago, only 2%, or less than 2% of Iowa was in drought, and now about 16% of the state is seeing drought conditions, mostly in the west and southwest. Taking a look at our world headlines of this hour, the top U.S. and coalition commander in Afghanistan predicts Afghan forces will be able to stand up against an expected surge in Taliban attacks following the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. While Afghan forces took the lead for the country's security 2 months ago, Marine General Joseph Dunford said they will continue to need training and mentoring after foreign combat troops leave at the end of 2014. The State Department says concerns about potential terrorist attacks by al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula will keep the U.S. Embassy in Yemen's capital closed for the time being. However, 18 U.S. diplomatic posts which had been shut down because of the threat will be reopened tomorrow. Search teams are trying to cover 320 square miles of Idaho wilderness in the search for 16-year-old Hannah Anderson and a man suspected of kidnapping her. The search focused on the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness after James Lee DiMaggio's car was found at a trailhead yesterday morning. He's suspected of killing Hannah's mother, Christina Anderson, and her 8-year-old brother, Ethan. Spain says it's broken up a gang that allegedly was smuggling Chinese citizens into Europe and the U.S. Spain's Interior Ministry says a joint investigation with French police led to the arrests of 75 people. It says some of the people being trafficked ended up in the sex trade. And the White House says progress is being made in reducing a backlog of disability claims for veterans, and President Obama plans to talk about it when he speaks to the Disabled American Veterans National Convention in Orlando, Florida today. After that appearance, the president heads to Martha's Vineyard for a 9-day vacation. In our funeral announcements this morning, Bob Gaffney, age 58, of Manning, died July the 14th at his home. A massive Christian burial service for Bob Gaffney will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Delmer Conrad, age 67, of Fullerton, California, died July the 11th. Graveside services for Delmer Conrad will be today at 1 o'clock in the Harlan Cemetery. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Donis Arbach, age 77, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Donis Arbach will be held on Sunday at 1:30 at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has the arrangements. Del Neary, age 88, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Allen House. Funeral services for Del Neary will be on Monday at 10:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Henry Bodler, age 77, of Fontenelle, died Thursday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Henry Bodler will be on Monday at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Marilyn Stover, age 77, of Stewart, died Wednesday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Marilyn Stover will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Mardell Hansen, age 85, of Elkhorn, died Thursday. Funeral services for Mardell Hansen will be on Monday at 3 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Pamela Crane, age 59, of Casey, died Thursday at the Guthrie County Hospital. A prayer service for Pam Crane will be Monday at 7 p.m. at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Adair. James Highland, Jr., age 91, of Griswold, died Sunday at the Griswold Care Center. A funeral mass for James Highland, Jr. will be Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the Creighton University Retreat Center in Griswold. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Marvin Thompson, age 76, of Guthrie Center, died Friday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Marvin Thompson will be on Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. And Ivan Chaffa, age 98, of Fontenelle, died Friday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Graveside services for Ivan Chaffa will be held at a later date. The Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle is in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.